Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that your hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Arise and press with vigor on. Gird yourselves in battle dress, the Christian armor don. Challenging the host of evil, we are moving toward. We will march to victory in the army of the Lord.
March along to victory in the army of the Lord. Jesus is our captain and the marshal is our sword.
Knowing not defeat or loss, meet the banner of the cross. Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord. With a heart courageous and a faith that's ever strong, we can banish fear and sing a glad triumphant song. Trusting not in human strength, for that would surely fail. Only in the Holy Spirit's power can we prevail.
Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord. Jesus is our captain and the Bible is our sword.
Knowing not defeat or loss, meet the banner of the cross. Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord. Though the fight is raging over all the world today, soon the noise and din of battle will have passed away. There will be a day of peace and rest in heaven fair. Then the spoils of victory the saints will fully share.
March along to victory in the army of the Lord. Jesus is our master and the battle is our sword.
Knowing that defeat or loss, meet the banner of the cross. Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord. Marching on to victory in the army.
Jesus, our captain and Lord.
March on, march on.
See that your steps never falter.
March on, march on.
Healing is every word. There's a song that blends with prayer. There's a shout, a a song. A praise the free, a praise the free, is a song. A victory, victory. March on, march on, joyfully singing Hosanna. March on, march on, fighting the battle of faith. March on, march on, manfully bearing his banner. March on, march on, faithfully known to death. There's a song that blends with prayer. There's a shout upon the air. Tis a song, a grace so free, a grace so free. Tis a shout. Victory, victory. March on, march on.
Still the hills
may overflow. March on, march on. Singing his glory and praise. March on, march on.
Till in the heavenly places.
March on, march on. We shall be all his days. There's a song that blends with words. There's a shout upon the air. Here's a song.
All right, let's find another one here. Hang on a second. Let's see what I got here. How about, I like this one right here. Let's do this one.
Anywhere we forward in the King's highway, to the prize before us, nearer every day. Learning more of Jesus and his holy will, never turning backward, never standing still. Anywhere we forward, forward is the word. Have you not the captain's orders heard?
Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us on, we pray.
Anywhere we forward, in the King's highway. Anywhere we forward, let the moments bring avenues of service for our blessed King. Work for him is precious, toiling in his might, for his yoke is easy and his burden light. Anywhere we forward, forward is the word. Have you not the captain's orders heard?
Lead us, Heavenly Father, on we pray. Anywhere we forward, in the King's highway.
Anywhere we forward, step by step we'll go, where his word and spirit shall the pathway show. Forward in his service, in the life of rest, spreading wide his kingdom, useful, glad, and blessed. Anywhere we forward, forward is the word. Have you not the captain's orders heard?
Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us on.
Anywhere we forward, in the King's highway. Anywhere we forward, in the King's highway.
Amen. Anywhere forward. That's right, forward. How about this one here? Let's see here. One more, and then we'll get started here. Let me see which one. How about we go with, let's see. I like this one right here. That is a true statement right there, because it's scripture. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And thank God for that. I'm here to tell you that is true, that God does guide your steps. They are ordered by the Lord, and God takes care of us, and God will take care of you too. In your darkest and your hardest times of life, the Lord is good, and he takes care of his people, and he is a shield and a buckler to those that put their trust in him. The Bible tells us that God is that shield and that buckler. He is our high tower, our defense, and we can thank the Lord for that. And you ought to thank the Lord for that, as God does a mighty work in your life, and I trust that that is happening in your life. If you've been saved by the grace of Almighty God, then God is doing a work in your life, that he is sanctifying you, and he is continuing to do a work in your life and heart. And that is all due to the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary. It is all initiated by God. Man never initiated anything. God loved us long before we ever loved him. And that's just the truth. that's the gospel, that God, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say for man so loved God. It says for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's the gospel we preach, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the work of the Spirit. It doesn't stop there with salvation. Everlasting life starts the day that you get saved by the grace of God. Your steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in your way. And the Bible says that God will guide you. He will direct you. He changes your course. You were on the course of this world, and you were led around by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And then you change course because God changed your course, and he saved your soul, and he puts you on that narrow way to heaven. And that is a narrow way. Listen, if all you got in your mind and your heart was a destination change, then I'm here to tell you, your destination never changed. You're still on your way to hell. When you get saved by the grace of Almighty God, he puts you on the narrow way, and he makes you a new creature in Christ. The children this week, one of the verses they're memorizing in church, one of the verses that they're going to be memorizing is my life verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel that saves men's souls. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the witness of the Holy Ghost inside of a God-fearing man or woman. That's that witness of the Spirit. And that's the work, that's the confirmation work of the Holy Spirit. That's his continual work inside of your life and inside of your heart to make you that new creature, to conform you to the image of Christ, that you would walk with him, that you would live for him, that you would serve him daily. That's the gospel that we preach. If you got something minus any of that right there, you better check it and make sure that it's the real thing, because the real thing changes you. Jesus Christ in your soul makes you want Christ Jesus the Lord. It makes you want to learn and grow and have a desire to follow God's word and to follow his book. And you've been given the word of God. And when you're given it, then you want to follow him. It's interesting because I was going to bring you a message, and I'll probably do it on Friday. I was going to bring you one on leaving a premarital counsel one again to get back into that and teach on cleaving, leaving and cleaving and serving. And I think I'll do that. I was going to do that today. I was close to doing it, but I don't know. Maybe I'll wait till Friday for that one, and I'll do that then. But, you know, I know that it's necessary to teach wives and husbands a proper understanding of that, and those that are getting ready to get married, so they understand what God expects from them. That's some great premarital counsel right there, just to understand what God has. But all that's a picture of the gospel, and we'll talk about that on Friday, I guess, since I already titled it this way. I could always switch it, though, and teach that. But, you know, I want you to understand that's... God has a purpose for that. We haven't talked about this LGBTQ agenda for a while. You know, with COVID and this other stuff, it hasn't taken the preeminence. It hasn't taken the front seat, so to speak, in what's going on right now in our world today. Nevertheless, it is real, and this LGBTQ agenda is not going anywhere. And I think it's part of this great reset. I know it is. But, you know, we have to understand something, but we'll get into that in a second. Let me say hi to some folks here, and... we'll go from there. We'll say hello to some people. out there in YouTube land. Andrea was first. Andrea, how's the baby doing? What did you name your baby? I'm sorry I don't remember that, but could you remind me? I have a bad memory. Sometimes I forget my own kids. I just start calling out their names and all of them. I've got so many daughters that I just run the gauntlet of names. And I just throw all their names together. You over there, whatever you are, you know who you are. You stop doing that. That's kind of what I do sometimes. Isn't that something? That's what happens when you have five daughters. Yeah, five. All right. Pilgrim lady. Jacob Yates. Off for the blizzard today. Elijah Morgan. Elijah, where are you trucking at right now? Cara Winters. Melissa Fletch. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with nice weather while I'm freezing here. And when you keep losing weight like I'm doing, you just keep freezing. Wherever you go, you're just cold all the time. Cold. I don't get hot anymore. I just get cold everywhere I go. Losing all that whale blubber does that to you. Carl, Carrie, Mary, Carrie, Mary. Now all we need is a Harry. Adam Marshall. Not Adam Marshall. Aaron Marshall. Although Adam Marshall would be a nice name too. Rachel. Ethan. Is that Ron Hamilton? Nope. Joe McDonald. I'm sure glad you weren't calling me sweet cakes, Carl. I'd have to give you a virtual punch in the nose. All right, let's see. They dwell beneath the temple. Okay. Scott. Let's see. Betty. Thomas Staniland, the man. Jason, Reform Baptist. They're stealing the election. Well, they've all been stolen. Okay. Wait, didn't I see somebody? Let me see here. Where'd that guy go? Kerry Acker, I saw you somewhere on there. Hope you're doing good. John Hippie. You big hippie. Just kidding. Or you could be called Big Hippie. That was funny. Only for me. I'm the only one laughing. Well, maybe you're laughing. I can't hear you laugh. President Harris will push something. Her name is Hazley, after her grandmother. I like that. I like that name. Hazley. What's her middle name? Does she have one? Hazley. I like that. Trucking through Salinas, California. Salinas. Nate Gross, not in Florida, not Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, excuse me, Melissa, where are you at? Alex. Sounds like, what's his name? Alex. When I listen to Alex, I will be freezing with you tomorrow, driving up to Minnesota tomorrow. You're driving through a blizzard, Brandon. Oh, that's what you meant, Melissa. Sorry. Sometimes my brain doesn't work quick enough. Her middle name is Rain. Hazley Rain. Wow, that's really cool. As long as you're not Alexander the Coppersmith that did me much evil, that's good. That's right. Francisco Arello, South Carolina, blowing the driveway off. Yes, I do get brain freeze sometimes. This is true. Probably more often than I would like to admit. Andrea, sometime my family, we're going to have to meet your family when we travel through Iowa there. Iowa's got the best tenderloins ever. Ever. There's no question about that. Definitely. Definitely. I'll get to teaching. I have 2 hours. And I like talking to people. Summer's excited to have a blizzard. She's been waiting for snow for months now. Oh my. Yep, I like warm weather too. Florida sounds fun. Somebody invited me to come to Florida. A pastor, an assistant pastor, he said to bring my wife and go to Florida and stay in their prophet's chamber for a week and just enjoy life a little bit. But that's not going to happen this year because we have another baby coming. So we ain't going nowhere. Anyway. Wow, okay. Well, hey, if you're ever over there in the Smoky Mountains, go get some awesome pancakes. What was that place called, Hannah? Was it Paul Bunyan's? Oh my goodness. Those pancakes were so big. Paul. Davy Crockett's. Man, those were good. They were huge. All right, anyway. So, now that all the pleasantries or unpleasantries are done away with here, Jesse, I think we went over by there, but I don't know if we went to the Blue Moose. But Pigeon Forge is okay, but I got to be honest with you. It's no Branson. Branson is way better than Pigeon Forge. Andrea, are you talking about that one over there in Pigeon Forge? Have you been there before? Have you been there? Seriously? Interesting. Wow, yeah, that place is awesome. That's so funny that you've been there. Yeah, it's great food. Anyway, all right, I gotta quit talking about food. I'm gonna get hungry, and I don't get to eat till I'm out of here. Anyway, all right. Here we go. Brandon Swanson lives 2 hours from Branson. Well, I was over by you, Brandon Swanson. I should have seen you. Maybe we'll meet up sometime if I ever go back down in that direction. Someday. But this year, I want to go on vacation in May. I want to go to the Grand Canyon. That's where I want to go. Yep. I want to go to the Grand Canyon. So we'll see what happens. But that's what I'd like to do. All right. Well, let's get into what's going on here with our topic here today. And, you know, confusion is a weapon of Satan. Confusion is a weapon that Satan uses. And right now with like COVID and everything that's going on, confusion is being used. I want to show you something here that I think is disgusting, but I want to show it to you for a reason, because it fits the times that we're living in. It shows us kind of where we're headed. See, Satan wants to confuse people. Satan wants to confuse children, especially. I'll get into that. He wants to. That's the Bible. God says over and over again, like sexual sins and incest and like all those other things, they wrought confusion. They mess up the mind and the heart. They mess up, you know, psychologically, they mess things up. Children sexually active at a young age, it messes their minds and hearts. Up. That's why God says, it's confusion. Leviticus chapter 18, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before the beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. See, what you have to understand is it's not absolutes. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam to mate with a donkey. He didn't make a woman to do that. He made things simple. He made things easy to understand. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. God is not just talking about the mixing of things that aren't going to be together as a physical sense, but he's talking about the psychological effects as well that happens. There are psychological effects that happen. For instance, even if it's not, even like when kids are 10, 11, 12 years old and they're actively having boyfriends and girlfriends and all those other things and are not watched by their parents and are doing things that rots confusion in their mind, right? Why? Because they're not supposed to be thinking about that. If your children are talking about boyfriend and girlfriend as little children, as kids, I don't mean girls daydreaming and saying things that you have to straighten out, by the way, still. But I'm not talking about that. Or talking about getting married one day. My little 4-year-old walked up to me one day and said, I'm going to marry that boy one day. Right? Oh, no, you're not, you little runt. You're never getting married. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's just, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about their little kids spending time together like that and doing all those things, right? Boys and girls having boyfriend and girlfriend writing each other notes and letters about things like that. That kind of stuff. Developing those relationships. That's why I hate youth groups and everything like that. People get mad at me about that. Why? Because they're not boys and girls. Look, we as a church do a lot of things together. Our boys and girls and everybody, they come together. We're all doing stuff together, families. But not like boys and girls at young ages. Why? Because it rots confusion in them. My son at 15 years old, 14 years old, his goal should not be to have a girlfriend. You know what I'm trying to teach him? His goal is, number one, to serve the Lord, to honor his parents. Number two, it's to prepare for a career. To get into it, to learn a trade and prepare a career. So one day he could take care of a wife and a family. But not looking for a girlfriend right now. Why? Because that rots confusion. The emotional trauma and stuff of rejection at a young age is bad. My son shouldn't know what it's like for a girl not to like him or whatever, go through all that. God never made us that way for young people to go through those things. They don't need that. That's not what God, that's confusion. It's confusion. So our young people in this church are not being raised to have boyfriends and girlfriends at young ages. What are they being prepared for? Marriage one day. Marriage one day. That's what they're being prepared for. Not to become emotionally attached. Not to become emotionally attached to a bunch of different girls at different times that devastates them, not to become in a physical relationship in those things and then have that devastation in those things that go on. I got my heart broken. I was a little kid like that all the time. And it had an impact emotionally on me for the rest of my life. Absolutely it did. Children are supposed to be developing their relationship with their parents and their friend, you know, their friends of the same sex and enjoying that friendship with one another, about camaraderie and young men learning to, you know, shoot guns and learning to hunt and learning to trap and learning to fish and learning to be a man and work and help other people and work together with other brothers in Christ and those kind of things. And young ladies learning how to cook and how to clean and how to care for one another and how to make things for other people in the church and how to do all the, that's the kind of things they're supposed to be doing. Not confused with relationships. That they're nowhere near ready. Look, there's no reason for any of those things when you're not ready to get married. The purpose of relationships, in that sense, is marriage. That's the only purpose. right? It's the only purpose. There isn't any other one. Otherwise, confusion is wrought. And by the way, those encounters don't happen when you don't start relationships like that. They don't happen. Anyway, so that was free. It didn't cost you anything. Okay? But the Bible talks about that confusion that comes. Now I want to show you something with this Baphomet spirit that we talked about. Okay? Now you look at this right here. You say, what is that? Well, I said it right here. I said it's Baphomet. That's what it is. They're saying, oh, it looks like a... But it's confusion. I don't even like looking at it. It bothers me. But there's a point to it. This is a makeup company, right? Avon. What do we have here? Baphomet. This right here is Baphomet. That's the spirit. Right? See the lipstick? Female, feminine looking. See the eyes? Feminine, but look at the beard. So, your mind, when it looks at that, becomes confused. So children, when they're indoctrinated by the LGBTQ agenda, when they're indoctrinated by it, it confuses their mind. That's what it does. Okay? And pushing that inside of a child that is young, that sees those things, that has not developed the system of right and wrong, confuses them. Right. Your brain is trying to process what that is. That's the point. Now do you understand why God said that he hated it? Okay. Why God said that God says that they're abominations, right? He says that they are, let's see, is it Deuteronomy 22? I'm trying to think of what that chapter, or is it 25? I always forget that chapter. Let's see. Here it is. I was right. Here's another abomination. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Okay. So this guy is an abomination. So's this guy. And this guy. Look at the Baphomet confusion. Sorry, I didn't know that was in there, but we got it off there. See the confusion? Would you all agree that that's an abomination? Anybody want to say, okay, does everybody agree? I'm going to give you a chance to answer this question. Does everybody agree this is an abomination?
Since he saved my soul, I'll shout it from the mountaintop. Christ Jesus made me whole. Oh, la do, 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 rejoicing, singing praises always till he takes us home. Oh, la do, 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 his word declares that when we die, the heavenly gate he'll open. So each day here we'll walk with him in liberty and hope. Oh, la do, 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 oh,
all right, so everybody said yes. Everybody said yes. Good, so we're all on the same page. Okay. But is this an abomination too? If that one's an abomination, is this one? Or this one? Is this an abomination? You see what I mean? We have to be consistent. See, I'm consistent with my position. I'm very consistent with my position. You see, if you and I are not consistent, then guess what? Nobody listens to what we say. Yes, it is an abomination. Because that's what the Bible says it is. See, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on the woman's garments, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. And believe me, this one that I teach right here has cost me a lot. See, it makes a lot of people mad. Makes a lot of people mad. Because I tell the truth about it. I teach an entire series on biblical modesty for women and men. And that's one of the things that I talk about. And I'm not doing it because I don't love you, and I'm not doing it because I'm a jerk, and I'm not doing it because of any of those other things. I'm doing it because it's truth. And I have to be true. I can't preach against that transgender. I can't preach against that dude rotten confusion when I see a bunch of women rotten the same confusion. I'm not a hypocrite. Here is an entire series on biblical modesty. Biblical modesty. Should Christian women wear pants? Right? Now, most people, most preachers, let me say this to you. Most preachers will never preach on this. They will not talk about this because it's uncomfortable. By the way, I wasn't even planning on talking about it. How do you like that? I wasn't planning on it. Well, Princess Zombie, where does it say that men shouldn't wear dresses in the Bible? What's wrong with that guy wearing the high heels and the dresses? Right? Where does it say that guy's wrong? Where does it say that guy's wrong? All I know is when a woman wants to look like a woman on her wedding day, she wears the nicest, white, most flowing dress she could find. She doesn't go out and find some wedding pants. Never seen one do that before. Always see him want to look like a princess, though. Well, why not look like a princess every day? Why not look like a princess every day? Why do you only want to look like a princess one day? Okay. I want my daughters and my wife to look like a princess every day. There's never a time where I don't want them to look like that. Now, again, that's not what this is completely about. You're going to have to go through there and listen. I can't teach on this. I've already done it for hours. You go put the time in if you want to honor God, and you go study that out. Because I have all the thorough information there for you, all of the understanding there that you could possibly need in that entire series. And I put all the work into it to study it out, to present it. And here it is. And I used David Cloud's book because he gathered a lot of the information. Okay? So, I know it's not popular, but I'll tell you what. Again, I'm not a hypocrite. Amen, Betty. And I love you, so I'll tell you the truth. Even if it costs me friends, family, doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I love the Lord more than I love anybody else. And God's word is true. And let me tell you something. Let me ask you. I'm just going to leave you with this thought as we keep going, okay? Let me just tell you something right now. If the world is trending that way, if the world is trending that way, we don't need to go that way. We need to follow the scriptures. And by the way, when somebody says men wore what I'd consider a dress back then, Nate, it's because you don't know what you're talking about. Because men girded up, they wore robes and they girded up their loins. Do you know what it means to gird up your loins? Do you know what it means to do that? What does it mean to gird up your loins? And men are told to gird up their loins. Women are never told to gird up their loins. Men are told to gird up their loins. All right. There we go. So I'll leave it right there at that. Chain break. Your brother said that an independent Baptist said women in dresses caused him to look with lust. Much more. Man, you scared me. I'm going to tell you what. You walked in that door. I'm going to tell you what, man. I almost. Did you see that? I jumped like crazy, man. Woo! I'm telling you. Old habits die hard, man. Woo! All right. Anyway. Ah. My dad's come running in here, scared me half to death, man. Open that door. Woo! All right. Man.
You have a right to be scared. I'm dead.
Huh?
You have a right to be scared. I'm dead.
I'm telling you. What does it mean to gird up your loins? Well, good thing you can go study out the sermon and figure it out, because I put all of it in there. All right. Anyway, God bless you. I love you. I really do. I'm not mad at anybody. But I'm going to tell you what. No one will be confused as to the ladies of this church as to what they are. That's the truth. So that's why we preach what we do when concerning modesty issues. All right, but that's not really the crux of the discussion today. And by the way, the brother that said that women in skirts caused him to lust more than women in pants, I'm going to be very clear with you. That guy has a problem with lust, not what the clothing of the person has on. Because modest skirts and dresses don't cause anybody to lust. Besides the lust that's already in a man's heart. Now, but when you wear something form-fitting that makes a V that shows the private female parts of a woman's body. Form-fitting to show every curve, which some women can do in skirts and dresses too if they're not modest. But I've already covered that in that series. Everything that you're bringing up to me has been covered for, let's see how many hours. There is literally probably 5 hours of teaching right there in that series, at least. There's an hour and a half. There's an hour. That's 2.5 hours. There's 3 hours. There's 3.5 hours. Yep, 4.5 hours of teaching right there. Okay? So it's all there. And you can argue till the cows come home about it if you want to. I ain't here to argue about it. I'm just here to tell you that's the truth. That's what I'm bringing to you is what I believe. Just like I believe that guy in that dress is an abomination, that's what God said. Right? And I know that makes people mad. But in this day and age, hey.
Everybody's mad.
Hey. Let me tell you something. At least you can't accuse me of being inconsistent. Because I preach against that, and I preach against that. So whatever the position is, it's consistent. Anyway, so you'll have it all there. All right. Now that we've gotten through that, let's get to the next part and deal with what's really going on here with this confusion that it rots. I'll tell you what, I can't help it. I got to say this. I think there's a lot of women that have caused a lot of confusion. I think Nate Gross, you said, if I can tell what sex someone is 100 yards away, it's acceptable for me. Well, good thing that you're not the standard and God's word is the standard. I don't really care what you think is acceptable. I care what God thinks is acceptable. It doesn't matter what I think is acceptable. It matters what God says in his word, right? Isn't that our standard? It's not what we think. It's what God says in his word. By the way, I know I make a lot of people upset because preachers don't talk about this stuff anymore. Why? Because everybody will run away from them and nobody will come to their church. Well, you know what? I'd rather be right with God. If it's just me, my wife, my 5 daughters, my mom and dad, and whoever else wants it, then fine, so be it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know why? Because God put that in me to say, either you're going to be real or you're not. Either you're going to believe me or you're not. You're either going to stand up for what's right or you're not. And that's the way I have to be. I have to. And does that make a lot of people mad? Yep. But you know what? It'll also keep a lot of riffraff out of here.
Yep.
It's what it's done. So anyway. All right. Man, how did I get stuck on this so long anyway? This is what happens to me. What is wrong with me? I should have just shut my mouth and kept going. Do you think it considered all short-haired women ugly? No, I think they're disobedient. I think if you can grow your hair long, grow your hair long. God said for a woman to be able to differentiate between a man. Again, the Bible says it's a shame for a woman to be shorn. It's a shame for her to have short hair. So what is that? Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is make sure your hair don't look like a boy's. Make sure it's long and the best that you can do. Right? Anyway, all right. I know. The trolls always come out when I preach like that. Well, you know what, True Seeker? God bless you for not being angry about it and considering it. God bless you. You know what? I absolutely never pounce on people for when someone comes and visits our church. If it's a lady or whatever, no one's going to preach against them if they're in a pair of pants. Nobody's going to like single them out. Nobody's going to treat them poorly. Nobody's going to do any of that. We don't do that. Right? And by the way, wearing the pants in the family actually used to mean something. Like that saying, now it has no bearing, right? But it used to. All right, well. Here we go. Making friends and influencing people. Now here's the thing. All right, here we go. Now listen. Because here's what's happening. Here's what I'm hearing from some people now, okay? Now hold on. All right? I'm not mad at you, but here's what I hear from some people right now. Here's what I'm hearing. Preach on them queers, preacher. Preach on them transgenders, preacher. But you stay away from everything else. Them queers are bad. Them men in skirts are bad. But don't preach on them things. Don't preach on these things. See what I mean? We got to be consistent, right? We got to be consistent. So, no, and I didn't. Melissa Flesh said, pants do not define me as riffraff. I agree with that. I think some people are uneducated on the topic and they've never learned. Right? Well, Debbie, there's nothing you can do about that. I'm only preaching you God's standard and what God says in the Word. Well, chain break, that comes from a rebellious heart, and you got to get that right with God. Because dressing like a lady shouldn't make you mad. But there ain't nothing, Debbie. There's nothing you could do about that. That's not your fault. But I'm here to tell you that I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to lose every friend I have to tell the truth. I'm willing to do that. I have to be. That's the call that I answered. You can disagree with me, and you could be upset with me, but at least you'll know. At least you'll know that I believe it. Chainbrick, you asked the question, how could I be that rebellious since that age? It's called a sin nature. It's a sin nature. Because we have fallen flesh. Yeah, I have 5-year-olds. Yes, they're rebellious. So, anyway, all right, but that's not what this broadcast is supposed to be about. It was just an aspect of it. Again, it doesn't matter what we like. It matters what God's word says. It doesn't matter what we like. It matters what God's word says. But again, those are things that 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 you have to work out. That goes between, that's between you and the Lord. That's not for me or anybody else to decide how you're going to obey the Lord in that sense. All I can do is preach the truth. And all I can do is stand on what I believe the Word of God says. And then I continue on for Him. That's all I can do. Okay. Now, but we have to do our best not to be a part of the confusion that is of this world. Here's another example of that. Supreme Court's transgender ruling leaves Christian business paying $250,000 settlement. A Michigan funeral home has settled a 6-year lawsuit filed by a former employee after the funeral home refused to allow a biological male employee who is transitioning to female to dress as a woman. Think about that. RG and GR Harris Funeral Homes Incorporated, represented by the religious rights law firm Alliance Defending Freedom and lawyers for the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in the state of Amy Steffens, filed a joint consent decree in Detroit federal court on Monday, bringing the 2014 lawsuit to a close. The settlement requires the funeral home to pay $130,000 in back pay to a compensatory damages to Steffens' estate, along with $120,000 in attorney's fees. Stefan, 59, died from complications related to kidney disease last May. Back when he was named Anthony, Stefan's was the embalmer and the director of the funeral home when he told his boss he wanted to wear female clothing to work. Well, first of all, his boss hired a male. His boss hired a man. Right? But guess what? Now he's being sued for it. As CBN News has reported, the funeral home said its priority is for families to focus on their loss and their grief. That's why the business set a sex-specific dress code to emphasize professionalism, and so the employees would blend into the background. The funeral home fired the employee on the decision to not follow the dress code. It was then the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a lawsuit against the funeral home. Think about that. So the Supreme Court says, well, look, even though you said you were a man, we hired you, you're a man, but you want to dress like a woman, so that's our fault now. Right? So this business has to pay $250,000. This spirit we find in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at this. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. What is that describing? Baphomet. Baphomet. You know what? There's a lot of... Somebody said this. I find it chilling, but I'm an abomination to God because I wear pants. Either I throw out all my pants and wear skirts the rest of my life or continue to be an abomination, I assume. Melissa, this is what I would do. I wouldn't assume anything. I would go listen to all the broadcasts or all the sermons that I preached on it. I would have my Bible open. I would look at all the principles that are being taught in there, and then I would make a decision when I was fully persuaded in my own mind that that's exactly what God wanted me to do. That's what I would do. That's what I would tell everyone to do. And yes, when we get confronted with the truth about our sanctification, when we get confronted with it, it is very shaking to us. It is very convicting. It shocks us. I'm not telling you to follow me from what I said on this thread. I'm telling you to listen to all that was done, have your Bible open, and learn. And then you say, I am fully persuaded in my own mind in which direction I could go. I'm nobody's pope. I'm not a dictator. I'm not a cult leader. I don't tell people what to do. I've been accused of everything under the sun in my ministry since I've pastored. I have been accused of everything. And I've had people even come to me and almost beg me to make a decision for them. And you know what I told them? I can't make a decision for you. You gotta make it for yourself. Get in that Bible. Study it. Listen to strong preaching, and then be fully persuaded in your own mind. And then stand on your convictions. That's what I say to people. I don't tell them what to do. And I won't stop being your friend if you're wrong either. But I guarantee you one thing, I've had a lot of people stop being my friend though. I've had a lot of people walk away from me and curse my name and stick my name through every bit of mud you could possibly imagine. Why? Because I stood for what was right. That's why. That's okay. I know it's Luke James. I know who it is. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to the beach in a bikini, in yoga pants, and dressing like that, you shouldn't be going to the beach. Not dressed like that. That's not modesty, but this broadcast is not about that anyway. It's about this Baphomet spirit, this confusion. Well, I guess it's somewhat about that, I suppose. Again, I'm telling you, I already know how many people I make mad with all this stuff. But I got to be real. And tell the truth no matter what. I have no idea where I was going with this. Hang on, let me see here where my article is. I don't know. Oh, that's right. I needed to get another one. Hang on. Here's another one here. The culture war. You know, here's the thing. You and I have to do all that we can to follow the Lord. We have to do all. Let me ask you a question. If I knew something, is there anything in this world that's more important for me that I'm not willing to give up to be a good Christian? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. As a lady, if dressing in modest skirts and dresses honored the Lord, avoided all appearance of evil, showed the differentiation between the sexes, was the most feminine looking and the most feminine attire that I could wear, or you could wear as a lady, would you do that to honor God? Or is it more important for me to do what I want? Is it more important for me to wear a certain thing, go a certain place, do a certain thing? By the way, I'm not singling anybody out. I'm speaking generally. Right? Let me show you something here. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's the main focus. Sometimes we are wounded by the word of God. We are wounded by our friends, but what happens is that it does wound us at first, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The flattery of the enemy is deceitful, right? I'll show you something else. Here's another verse, Leviticus 19:17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. That's love. That's love. Right? All right. Let's keep going here. Losing the culture wars. How conservatives aid the trans agenda. If you want to know why conservatives are battling almost zero in the culture war, consider the recent... By the way, have you noticed how most of the... like, well, Trump single-handedly brought the LGBTQ movement to the forefront of the Republican Party. And he not only was so good at it, he got a bunch of Christians to vote for him to do it. Do you understand that? And he did it by fear of communism. But Trump changed the Republican Party forever. He changed the Republican Party forever. Like, how could... okay, like, how could you be Trump's pastor? Let me tell you something. John Gonneau. John Gonneau was the chaplain for George Washington. Okay? John Gonneau preached the Bible and didn't compromise his faith. But now, the chaplain, so to speak, whoa, look at that storm out there.
Yeah, it's freezing.
Man, did that storm come in quick. And there's a storm brewing on here while I'm preaching. But compare the two together. You have Paula White. And where are all these evangelicals like Franklin Graham preaching against Donald Trump's sodomite agenda that he's had? Nowhere. Where's Pence, the Republican vice president, the supposed strong Christian man? What happened to all the evangelicals? They accepted the trans agenda. They accepted it.
Ruination of a country.
They accepted it. So now, nobody's fighting the culture war. Nope, nobody's fighting it. And guess what? They're not even trying to fight it. Like, there's not even an effort to fight it. They want to call people by whatever they want to be called by. And the Republicans are falling line and hook, line, and sinker with that. If children can't consent to puberty blockers, says one, which pause any permanent changes, even with the relevant professional evaluation, how can they consent to the permanent and irreversible changes that come with their own puberty with no professional evaluation whatsoever? And calling herself the adult, calling himself, right? calling himself, because he's a man, calling himself Xena the adult demon female. Well, I agree. You're a demon. Yep. You have a demon in you. See, this person is admitting they have a demon in them. And that demon makes them want to be that. Right? That demon makes them want to take on that Baphomet spirit. Right? It makes them want to take that Baphomet spirit on. So in other words, basically, they want all the boundaries gone. They want all the boundaries that are put up for what a family is, from what a man is, what a woman is. You know, people really need to learn to tell the difference between political Christianity and biblical Christianity. Maybe I just need to teach on it. I talked about it on Constantine's conversion to political Christianity the other day, but maybe I need to just teach on it directly. There's a difference in political Christianity and biblical Christianity. Because all these people are political Christians. They're not biblical Christians. They are political Christians. Just like Constantine was. But using the same language and calling this guy a woman? Calling this guy a woman? Is giving in to that spirit. So they're not fighting it. All these people that you think are Christians out there that are part of this political movement, like Trump and Pence and all these other people, they're not. They're not. It's a means to an end to them. Obama said he was a Christian. But I think Trump is as much of a joke of a Christian as Obama. The only difference that Trump did was he used the political backing of the evangelicals, so he did things that would make his posterity better. And those things aligned with Christianity. So that's why he did that. He didn't do it because of conviction. He didn't do it because he follows God's word. He did it because it was expedient for him. That's why. That was the whole purpose. So this person at the Blaze here, which is supposed to be a conservative thing, would use female pronouns to describe this man. And this other man says, well, that's disgraceful to do that. Well, sure it is. See, the world is constantly moving. It's constantly moving, right? It's the wide road that leads to destruction. So if the church follows the world and gets deeper into it, then we have no differentiation between the world. If I was a lady today, I would want to be completely modest. If I was a man, I would want to be completely strong and manly and masculine. And I want to stay away from the edge of all those things. And the reason why is so I could be the best godly example and the opposite of what the world's pushing. I would want to be what the world hates. And what do they hate? A modest woman and a masculine man. They hate it. They hate a feminine woman and a masculine man. And that's what I would want to be. Because that's the way that God ordered things. I would want to be that. That's what I would want to be. Why? Well, because that's what the world hates. Just like it hates Jesus Christ. So I would want to be what lines with the scriptures. I'd want to be what lines with the role of the sexes. Right? That's what I would want to be. Because the world hates Christ. The world hates everything that that Christians stand for. They absolutely hate a modest woman. They hate a keeper at home. They hate a masculine man that raises his voice, that yells, that gets excited. They hate it. Why? Well, because you're not confused at where I stand. Because what I'm saying to you tonight or this afternoon does not rot confusion. When I say what the scriptures say, in the beginning he made them male and female. There's no confusion. It's so, listen, please, please listen to me and heed this warning. Please, please listen to me. Very closely. It is absolutely imperative. It is absolutely important that you and I leave this world with no excuse. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Look what the Bible says. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt, man, I'm telling you, I could camp there and scream and holler for another hour right here. Just right here. Just right there on that verse. Just that part of that verse. listen to me. What in the world? Exactly. Is it gonna get like if you and I don't follow this? Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Do you know how absolutely badly this world needs some salty Christians?
Amen. Come on. Good stuff.
They need salty Christians. People, you know what salt does? It irritates. Salt irritates. You know, this preaching today and the things that I've said, it's irritated. It's caused some irritation. It's supposed to. It's supposed to irritate you. But salt also cleanses. It's a preservative. Salt is a preservative, and it preserves society. And if God's people are not that preservative, don't wonder that people like Donald Trump, people like Barack Obama, people like all these people, they can call themselves Christians. You know why people like that can call themselves Christians? Because God's people aren't being salt. That's why. Their lives aren't salty. They don't burn, they don't irritate, they don't bother. You know, people look at us when we go somewhere, and they look at my wife and children, they look at our family. They look at us and they'll ask questions like, "Are those all yours?" "No, I borrowed them."
"Grandpa loved them."
Right? "No, I borrowed them." But you know what else they say? Remember when we used to go out to dinner? We don't do that anymore. There's no place to go. Anyway, but remember what it was like to go out to dinner? But when we used to go out to eat, they were amazed that my children are sitting at the table, clothed and in their right mind eating.
Yep.
And they're not running around everywhere and can't sit down and their parents bribing them and begging them and to do it. Why is that? Well, because we're salt.
Yep.
We're salt. And we don't hand them an iPhone and say, "Here at the restaurant, you can play with the phone or the video games while you're waiting." And by the way, that's the testimony of most of the families of this church. The same exact thing. As they go sit down and have a room full of kids. You know what? You know how many times some of the members of our church, they're out at a restaurant and somebody walks up to them and buys them dinner, their whole family? Because they're so shocked. Yeah, they're so shocked that their family is sitting there at a table eating and they're a family unit. And they look at them and they're just shocked because they don't see it anymore. I'm telling you, God's people need to be that salt.
Yep.
They got to be that. Like, we should walk into a room and look different.
Yep.
We should. Because in a world of half-naked women, running around immodestly, showing off every curve of their body and their cleavage hanging out? And men running around in skinny jeans or in yoga pants? Acting effeminate? We should look different. We should walk in a room and people be like, wow, I wonder why those people are like that. Are you guys Amish or Mennonites or something like that? And not because they're wearing plain clothes either, like Mennonites do, but just because they're covered. They're covered. They're dressed. And they're not showing off like every curve of their body. They're not showing off every curve of their body. They're not showing off everything. And their speech is different. You know, I hope it does offend. Like, I hope it does. I hope my daughter's walking into a room. I hope it does offend them. I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope it makes him think like, well, why do you do that? Right? Well, why do you do that? Why are we so different? Why do we talk different? How come our speech is not the same? How come, I don't know, because we don't want to rock confusion. We want people to understand very plainly what we stand for, what we hold to, and what we live by. Right? That there's a difference. Since when is that a bad thing? Since when is it a bad thing for the world not to like the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, the places that you don't go? You know, I remember a great song that I used to sing little kids all the time when I did junior church all those years ago. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Right? The clothes I used to wear, I don't wear them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Right? Why is that a bad thing? Why is it bad that we don't identify with the world? We're not supposed to. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The way I used to talk, I don't talk that way anymore. Right? There's been a great change since I've been born again. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men Well, why would your light shine before men? Man, this is like a whole nother sermon that could be like a bunch of them. As long-winded as I am, oh my goodness. It never end. Let your light so shine before men. Why? Well, look what the Bible says here. Let's see. Let me find that verse. Here it is, right here. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Because we're the light of the world. So, your light's not to be hid. Right? The light of the world. That's who we're supposed to be, because men love darkness rather than light. That's what God wants us to do, is to be that light. To be that witness. So, guess what? That means that we don't confuse people at all. We're very plain with the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we walk, what we stand for, the role of the sexes. Men are men, women are women. Men take care of the men, do what men are supposed to do. Women do what women are supposed to do. And we do our best to teach that to the world. Why? Because we are the salt. We are the light. Amen. I'm telling you what, I know it. I know what these things are hard to hear sometimes. But you know what? It's getting dark. You know, it's interesting. About 7 years ago, six years ago, I preached a message called Dark World Rising. I should go back and listen to that.
There's a job to be done, don't quit. There's a race. don't quit. Weary Christian, don't quit. Jesus did not quit all throughout his ministry, for he would not stop till he reached Calvary. He endured the cross and became the finisher. So then follow, be a conqueror. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit.
Sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This not my final home, but until then.
Whoops, sorry about that. What I meant to say was, I forgot I didn't have that on. I muted the microphone. What I was going to say was, or what I did say, was that it was a good admonition, don't quit. And the Bible tells us not to quit, and that's a good admonition for all of us and a good thing to remember. Now, if anybody has any questions or anything like that, or any comments, or they just want to say hi, you can certainly do that, and I'll get back to this song here.
And my heart will go on singing until then. With joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And the things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
My life I give to you, O Lord. Use me, I pray. May I glorify your precious name in all I do and say. Let me trust you in the valley dark as well as in the light, knowing you will always lead me. Your will is always right. I know God makes no mistakes. He leads in every path I take along the way that's leading me to home. Though at times my heart would break, there's a purpose in every change he makes, that others would see my life and know that God makes no mistakes. And when someday in heaven above I see his dear face, may I then be counted faithful as a runner in this race. But now I'm trusting in the Savior to show me the way. In his righteousness he guides me as I seek to please him.
There we go. All right, everybody. Well, I more than likely I'll be back on a broadcast Friday, I believe, anyway, but we'll see how much work I get done. I got to get my work done because I might be going hunting on Saturday, so I got to try to get my work done Thursday But I should be able to on Friday. Some of you that celebrate Christmas may not be around to listen to that, but some others might be. So I will be there, Lord willing, on their live, but we'll see what happens. Yep, chain brake, we drive in the snow. I don't use any chains. I just drive. But I have a truck, so I just use that. But I've driven everything in the snow. But anyway, so you can, let's see, hopefully tune in. Tonight I'll be preaching a message on how to preach the gospel to Jews, or how to preach to Jews. And that's out of Acts chapter 13. And so, and if you want to give to the ministry, you can click the give button right there and click on PayPal right there, or you can go down, scroll down the bottom of our screen here, and you can mail us something here, made out to Pastor Cooley. The reason for that is that we are not a corporation, or you can make it out to a big long trust name if you want to. I don't care either way, but we're not a corporation. And we don't have 501c3, and we're not, we don't have a tax identification number. We don't send out receipts for people or any of those other things. We're just a church serving the Lord, and the church doesn't own any property or anything like that. Because churches are spiritual entities, not legal entities. And that's the way God intended them to be. So that's what we try to obey and follow the scriptures when it comes to those things. Anyway, so that tells you how you can get a hold of us, or you can find us if you'd like to, or if you need to. If you need to get a hold of us, the PayPal address is pastorcooley@icloud.com or salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can email me at either one of those two, salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You can email me at either one of those. And if you need to, or if you'd like to, and just pray for our ministry, pray for the work that the Lord has us do here, pray for the gospels that goes out to people, and we'll pray and seek the Lord's face in all that you do, and pray for the Lord to give us wisdom and guidance and direction in the future for all that we do for Him. All right, everybody. I'm going to get out of here, but God bless you all. Take care and be safe out there, and enjoy yourselves, and trust the Lord, and be a good witness for the Lord here. And remember, everything that I talked about, whether it's today or any other day, you ought to search the scriptures and be good Bereans to see if these things are so. And study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to do that. And, ask the Lord to give you guidance and to give you answers and to help you through things. All right? Anyway, don't just take my word for it. You study it out. And you learn, and you grow, and you seek the Lord. All right?